We're reading Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Last time we looked at the first phrase here, let's read this verse. It says, there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism. And last time we looked at the fact that Christianity is based on Jesus Christ. We're gathered today to celebrate his sacrificial death for us. One faith talks about what we believe. It summarizes the teachings of Scripture. Paul is writing here about Christian unity, the word one here. There is one body, there is one spirit, there is one holy calling with which we have been called. There is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, there is one God, there is one Father. He's united us all into one church. Unity, Christian unity is the theme here that Paul is talking about. And that is the number one. There's that word again. That is the number one identifiable attribute or characteristic of the church. In contrast to the world that is split into different groups that follow different ideas, that have a different worldview, Christianity is based on the number one. We are one body united by the Holy Spirit into the church. It's based on the Trinity. There's one God in three persons. The body has, or the church has, many different members, but we are one body. Faith is a subject we hear a lot about in our days. People say, I believe this, and others say, well, I believe this way. And somebody else will say, well, I believe this way. When we read chapter 11 of Hebrews, we have a description in the biographies of many different people that lived by their faith. Faith was not just something that they expressed with their mouth, but this is something that they believed to the core of their being, and their life translated into the way they lived. And the result of that, we read that God gave them His testimony, or the witness that they belonged to Him. It's faith in action, faith that is demonstrated in their life. It was the people in Hebrews 11 that walked, as Paul says here in verse 1, they walked worthy. And when they walked worthy and they came to the end of their life, it says that God found them worthy. They obtained, or they received, the testimony of God. And so our faith, when we talk about it here and what Paul is talking about here, he says there is one body, there is one group of teaching that summarizes who we are as a people, and it is contained in Scripture. Psalm 19 teaches us that Scripture, the sum total of Scripture, is enough, or it is sufficient to bring us to salvation. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, from the time when you were a little child, you knew the Scripture. Timothy's mother and grandmother, they taught him the Scripture. What Scripture did they have? Is that the same Scripture we're talking about here that Paul is writing about? They had the Old Testament at the time. David, when he wrote Psalm 19, he was talking about the body of Scripture that had been revealed up to that point in history. When we go back to the book of Joshua chapter 1, God says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth and from your lips. When we go back to the time of Moses and Joshua, they only had the five books of Moses. And Moses had just finished writing them. And yet they were sufficient to give him the faith to live the kind of life that they had, to have victory over sin and over their enemies. So what is it that we believe? You remember several years ago, we worked our way through the epistle of Jude. Jude says there, it says, contend earnestly, fight, strive for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, to the Christian people. This faith, this body of truth that we have been given, is now complete. We believe that Scripture has been completed with the book of Revelation, and there are no more new revelations that God will give us. But even in the Old Testament, even when we go back to Adam and Eve, before there was any written word, there was God's verbal, oral word, and God told them how they were to live. And there was to be a sacrifice, a bloody sacrifice for their sin. An animal had to die. This is the sum total of what we believe. The early Christians, chapter 2 of Acts, they gathered to study the doctrine of the apostles, the teaching of the apostles. It was important for them to know how they are to live. In the Old Testament, we find that God gave a pattern. He gave a model, especially to those who he called to be his prophets. And there was a way to find out if the prophet was teaching the faith. And God said, if he's not teaching the faith, I will punish him and I will kill him. And the people that followed him into error, they were also idol worshippers. And God severely punished those that worshipped idols and left the body of truth that we call the true faith. So how is it that you today in Hollywood can know whether what we teach you is correct? See, we have this body of truth that has been collected over the years and carefully passed on. Paul writes to Timothy, what you have learned from me, and I received it from Jesus Christ. Pass it on to faithful men. Not just anybody you meet on the street, but faithful men. Faithful men means those who know the truth and are capable of passing it on to somebody else. And they in turn will pass it on to somebody else. And so the baton of faith, the sum of what we believe, has been passed down generation by generation until it's come to us today in Hollywood. And those of you that are older, you're passing it on to your children and grandchildren. And those of you that don't have children yet, God willing, you will. And you will be responsible to pass this on to your children and grandchildren. And be faithful as those that went before you were faithful. This body of truth that we believe in. This is what drives the church. This is what purifies the church. If we believe these things, John says, you will practice these things and you will be holy. You will purify yourself because of this hope we have that comes from this word. And as I said earlier, Jude said, we are to contend. If it is necessary to stand up and fight and give your life as a witness, as a testimony, as a martyr, as the person that will shed his blood for this word, you are to be ready to do that. That is what it means to fight for it. If somebody departs from the truth, you go and you get them and you bring them back to the truth. But Scripture is now complete. We believe that it's been completely given to us. And so what is remaining for us is to know it and to practice it. In other words, to walk worthy, as Paul says here. The core things that we believe are centered around our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles' doctrine was about Jesus Christ. What are the core things that we believe about Jesus Christ? We believe, first of all, that Jesus Christ was the propitiation for our sin. In other words, he was the Lamb of God that God chose before he created the world. And this Lamb, it came. It was predicted in the Old Testament. In the verse-by-verse study of the Old Testament, we see how Jesus Christ, his coming as the Messiah for Israel, his coming as our Redeemer, was prophesied in the Old Testament. We believe in the New Testament that Jesus did come, and he was the one that was promised. We believe, our core teaching is that Jesus Christ was chosen by God, and he came to die. And we believe that he did die. We believe that the core teaching of Christianity, this faith that's been given to us, is centered on the fact that Jesus not only died, and that's what we will celebrate today, but that God raised him from the dead. Why did God raise Jesus Christ from the dead? Because the sacrifice that he did for us on the cross, as a substitute for our sins. I belonged on the cross, you belong on the cross. But Jesus went to the cross for me and for you. Because he was qualified. There's a difference between being qualified as a sacrificial lamb of God that God chose and simply being responsible for your sins. We all deserve to die for our sins. We deserve to go to the cross. But even if we died on the cross, we would not be qualified to be the substitute for our sin. Only Jesus Christ could do that. And because he did that, he lived a sinless life because he fulfilled the law. God said, Jesus Christ is qualified, and he went to the cross. And because he did this, God did not allow his dead body to remain in the grave. But on the third day, he raised him up as a testimony that the sacrifice had been accepted. We not only believe that Jesus died, that he rose again, but that he ascended and now sits at the right hand of God. He's looking down on us. He is our advocate with the Father. If we sin, we come to the Father through Jesus Christ. This we believe. This is the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is the faith that we are willing to go to death for. And Jesus Christ is not only sitting at the right hand of God the Father today, and that means a place of honor, but Jesus has said that I will go and I will prepare a place for you, and I will come again and I will take you to be with me forever. That is what we believe. That is the core sum. And so we have one Lord. Is he the Lord of your life? Is he the Savior of your life? We have one faith. We have one set of teaching that we believe, that unites us. That is why we gather Sunday by Sunday. What a glorious Savior we have. What a glorious Lord we have. What a glorious faith we have. May God bless his word. Amen.